بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ويوم يعرض الذين كفروا على النار أليس هذا بالحق؟ قالوا بلى وربنا. قال فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: حق وباطل ولكل أهل. صلوات. The subject of my speech, as you know, is the concept of حق and righteousness in the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And this is one of those subjects which have been elaborately addressed in Nahj al-Balagha, and it's a subject that touches the life of every human. Haqq and batil are things which are relevant to the life of every human being, and it relates to the theoretical things as well as the practical aspects of human life. So it can be about our beliefs and thoughts and ideas, and it can be about the policies and stances that we take in our life towards various things that we encounter. And for both the haq and the batil, the righteousness and falsehood, both of them have their own followers, Ahlul Haq and Ahlul Batil. And it's a it's our responsibility to be watchful and careful regarding that. Now, obviously, literally speaking, the word haq means amrun sabit, something which is stable, something which is correct, something which is in sync with the reality, harmonious with the truth on the ground. And it's wise for a human being to adjust his ideas and his practices according to the realities on the ground. And if we fail to realize this responsibility, what happens is that the truths and the facts are not changeable. What happens is that we are the ones who lose, and at the end, either in this life, if we are wise, I would say, or if we are not wise enough, then at the end of the life, when we are transferred into the world of barzakh, then we will definitely end up realizing and repenting. But that repentance does not benefit. So, like Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said that man sara al haqqa sara'ahu. So whoever battles the righteousness, it knocks him down. The haq knocks him down. So if we don't realize it, the ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning from Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse 39, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, يَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. So when those who did the kufr are presented on the fire, and we find that what happens is that it would be said to them, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ, isn't that the truth? And obviously in that world, everybody is one of the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah, which has 100 plus names in Islam, is Yawm al-Haq. Everything on that day is righteousness and truth, and people, there is no room for any batil. People won't even think about batil on that day. So qalu bala wa rabbina, they would certify this fact, and then it would be said to them, qala fadhuqul adhaba bima kuntum takfurun. He would say, then taste the adhab and punishment for what you, the kufr that you used to do. So it is very important for a human to realize that innahu la yughnika anil haqqi shay'un abada. This is from the letter number 59 of Amir Mumin alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, where he says that certainly nothing suffices you from haq. That any option that you may choose in your life other than the righteousness, it's not going to work, it's not going to be sufficient, that's not going to benefit. So we must understand that the only option we have is to obey the haq. And there are lots of people who in this world who actually like to follow haq, and a lot of them try to follow the haq as well, but there are some who make a mistake in distinguishing the haq from the batil, and hence they make a mistake in distinguishing who is Ahlul Haq, the follower of the Haq, and who is Ahlul Batil, the follower of the falsehood. And there are some among them who even are undergoing a worse kind of spiritual situation and illness, which is that they consider their falsehood to be Haq and righteousness. And Quran says about this category of people, Surah Al-Kahf, that قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. So they, those people who are the biggest losers in the life of dunya are the ones who thought they are doing well, they are following the haq, they are on the right path, but they would obviously discover the fact that they have not been following the haq, and they are the biggest losers. So this has been the case for a lot of people. So it's very much important for us, the human beings, to understand how we are supposed to distinguish the haq and the batil, and adjust our ideas and our policies of life. Although the haq is for most of the people, if not all, for most of the people, something which is bitter and hard to digest. But there is no other option for us to be open and to accept the truth. The criteria I would like to mention for judging the haq and batil is what solution does Islam has to present, how we are supposed to distinguish the haq from the batil. But before I go to that, it is important to understand some false criteria that some people have been choosing in their life, and that has to be presented that and made clear that this is not the right way. First of all, the majority. There has been and there are still a significant number of people on earth who consider majority to be a criteria for judging the truth. So, in the teachings of the Holy Quran and that of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam, there is no ambiguity that majority is not the authority. Majority is not necessarily on the truth. Not just that, but actually if you turn to the Holy Quran, we find that majority can never be trusted and can never be followed. The Holy Quran, look at Surah Al-Mu'minun verse 70, where Allah says, وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. And most of them dislike the haq. So the ayat of Holy Quran is very clear about the fact that people turn away from the righteousness. So most of the people are such that they are not ready to accept the haq. Another verse of Holy Quran, Surah Yusuf 183, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala... I'm sorry, it's verse number 13. I think I have some messed up numbering here. I could not read the number properly, but I think it's 13. So I may not be correct in that. But it's from Surah Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you obey the majority on the face of earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. So again, obeying the majority is a confirmed factor of our misguidance. We cannot obey the majority. So the third verse again from the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Holy Prophet, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most of the people will not become mu'mins, even though you may be greedy about that. You may like to see them mu'mins. You like to for them to become mu'mins, but most are not going to accept the iman. So it's another fact that the majority of the people will not be believers. Turning towards Nahjul Balagha, Amir Mumin alayhi salam says khutbah number 201, where he says, La tastawhishu fi tariq al-huda li qillati ahlihi. Don't be afraid on the path of guidance because of the less followers. So if you find less people around you on the straight path, you shouldn't be worried about that because there are so less people that are with me. That has been the case with, if you look at the, that's not part of the hadith, I'm explaining myself. It has been the case throughout the history. I remember Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayh used to say that all the prophets of God did their qiyam and uprising alone. Later on, few people joined them. So the qiyam and uprising done by every prophet was basically alone. We are not supposed to be afraid of the less number of supporters and followers. Again, in khutbah number 130, Amir Mumin alayhi salam says that لا يؤنسنك إلا الحق ولا يوحشنك إلا الباطل. Nothing should be making you familiar. That means you should be acquainted and familiar with nothing but the righteousness. And then if you have less people around you, you don't be afraid of that, isn't it right? As long as you are on haq, haq is with you, that's enough for us to feel acquainted and familiar and, you know, and satisfied. وَلَا يُحَشَنَّكَ إِلَّا الْبَاطِلِ. Nothing should scare you other than the batil and falsehood. So even if we have lots of people around us, you know, that's what some people say, because if we choose this path in our life, if we take this stance in our life, if we follow such and such policy, if we obey the Islamic leadership, for example, you know, if we do this, there will be less supporters who will be standing, you know, by us. Well, these things are irrelevant in the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So the first thing which has to be clear before we come to the criteria to judge the haq from the batil, first thing that has to be clear is that majority doesn't stand any value in the eyes of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in terms of being a criteria for judging the truth from the falsehood. Second of all, the seerat of the kubara, that means the elders, buzurgan. This has been another long-standing practice of some people in the history and even today who have been following their elders of the community and their tribes. Quran says, Surah Al-Ahzab, يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. When their faces will be turned or changed, or turned to the into the fire, they will say, we wish we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger. وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ. And they would say that, oh, our Lord, we had obeyed our leaders and our elders, and they misguided us from, from the path, in other words. So basically, Quran has been condemning the behavior of those people who have been following their elders and their leaders, regardless of the fact whether they are on the right path, but just because they are our elders, that's not the right way to distinguish. This is exactly what situation Amir Mumin alayhi salam faced in the Battle of Jamal. Haris ibn Hut came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said, do you think I'm going to buy the argument that you are on haq? And all these ashab and companions who are opposing you in the Battle of the Camel, they are all of them are on batil. So Amir Mumin alayhi salam said to Haris, this is in the Kalimat al-Qisar of Nahj al-Balagha, Ya Haris, innaka nadharta tahtaka walam tanzur fawqaka fahirta. You have seen under you, but you haven't seen above yourself. So you got, basically mutahayyir and misguided and undecided about that. إِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْرِفِ الْحَقَّ فَتَعْرِفَ مَنْ أَتَاهُ وَلَمْ تَعْرِفِ الْبَاطِلَ فَتَعْرِفَ مَنْ أَتَاهُ. You haven't recognized the haqq, so you would end up recognizing who brought the haqq. And you haven't recognized the batil, so you end up recognizing who brought the batil. So the first thing to him, another statement where Amir Mumin alayhi salam had said that to another person who was making a similar argument, he says the statement with Osman Taha from Egypt had said that that's basically the most eloquent Arabic statement since the time the revelation has stopped. This is the most baligh, ablagh kalam, the most baligh of all the statements of Arabic after the revelation of the Holy Quran has stopped. So that's, he talks about this statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, where he says that innaka lamalbusun alaik, you are in a confusion, you are confused. إن الحق والباطل لا يعرفان بأقدار الرجال. Haqq and batil are not recognized by the status of the personalities. That's how some people operate, isn't it right? They say, well, this guy is so high, how in the world can he take a wrong stance? So whatever he does has to be right. This is not a right way to judge haqq and batil. Isn't it right? That's what some people were doing in the time of Imam Ali, and taking, you know, one person who's opposing the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam is the accepted Khalifa, isn't it right, on the fourth place, if not the first place, the fourth place by the entire Islamic Ummah, isn't it right? At the time the Battle of Kamal happened, he's the fourth Caliph of the entire Islamic Ummah, isn't it right? There's no controversy on that much, isn't it right? Everybody accepts him the fourth caliph, if not the first. We accept him as the first, but he obviously the fourth position, fourth caliph is something which is matter of consensus. So now that he is a khalifa of Rasulullah, obviously waging a war against the khalifa is a rebellion. It's not allowed in Islam. But there are people who still are ready to wage a war against him, and then present the argument that there are some of those companions present on the other side. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, look at how he puts the issue. He says, "Inna al-haq wal-batil la yu'rafani bi-aqdar al-rijali. I'rif al-haq ta'rif ahlahu." Haq and batil are not recognized by the status of the people. So you see, there are such and such people on that side, so it has to be on haq. In other words, so he said, recognize the haq first. I'rif al-haq. Recognize the haqq, ta'rif al-batila. You will end up recognizing, recognize the batil, recognize the haqq, you will end up recognizing those who are the followers of haqq. Wa'rif al-batila, ta'rif ahlahu. And recognize the batil, and you will end up recognizing the followers of batil. So, likewise, the third common malpractice, wrong behavior done by some, is that when it comes to haqq and batil in their lives, they follow their ancestors. Traditions and ideologies and policies of the ancestors. Just because I'm born to such and such family and to such and such tribe, isn't it right? So I will continue to follow how my ancestors used to do. But this is again not the criteria in Islam to judge what is haqq and what is batil. Quran is clear when it says Surah Zukhruf verse 23, Inna wajidna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun. This is what the idol worshippers, the mushrikeen, used to say to the Holy Prophet, that we have seen, certainly we have found our ancestors on a creed, and certainly we are going to follow them. So follow what they have been doing, in other words. So this is your, and just because your ancestors were believing in this ideology doesn't give you a license to obey the same ideology. They may be right, they may be wrong. You have to be open to understand and think rationally about what they have been doing. Whereas when it comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, look at how he says it. He says, khutbah, sermon number 56, وَلَقَدْ كُنَّ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ نَقْتُلُ آبَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَنَا وَإِخْوَانَنَا وَأَعْمَامَنَا مَا يَزِيدُنَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. So those of the mushrikeen who have been waging war against the Holy Prophet, isn't it right? Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was in the front line with the Holy Prophet to defend Islam and to battle against those mushrikeen who have been waging the war against the Prophet and Islam and killing those aba'ana, our ancestors, abna'ana, our children, ikhwanana, our brothers, a'mamana, our uncles. So when it comes to those who are waging wars and performing crimes against humanity, it doesn't matter a criminal, even if maybe he's related to you, that's not going to make any difference when it comes to opposing that criminal and defending from their atrocities. So the mizan and the criteria in Islam for judging the haq from batil is two. There are two things which help a believer, any human being, to judge the haq and righteousness from batil, the falsehood. First is aql, the pure human intellect, unimpaired, untainted by the human desires. If we utilize our hidden messenger, this is the hidden messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been, he has created, in every human being. So this aql helps us to judge the right from the wrong. Quran says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا تَفَكُّرٌ صَحِيحٌ. So if we utilize our intellect correctly, we have the tafakkur sahih, then we will always end up understanding the haq. Summa tatafakkaru ma bi sahibikum min jinnatin innahu illa nadhirul lakum bayna yaday adhabin shadid. Surah Saba, verse 46. So we find that also in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. So again, the Holy Quran has been encouraging us to think in ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created the heavens and earth and all what is in between the heavens and earth with righteousness, and it's our responsibility to think correctly to realize the truth. So thinking is considered by the Holy Quran, utilizing the aql is the first criteria for judging the haq from the batil. So if it doesn't click to the pure aql of a human, it cannot be haq. Haq is something which is in sync to human aql, and it will always be certified by the aql. Within its extent. The second criteria which is helpful for judging the haq from the batil is the divine revelation, the wahi. And there is no third factor which can judge the haq from the batil. So wahi and revelation, anything that comes from the Creator has to be the haq. One of the names, one of the beautiful names of Allah itself is al-haq. Isn't it right? And Quran says very clearly, Surah al-Baqarah 148, al-haqqu min rabbika, fala takunanna min al mumtareen. The haqq is from your Lord, so you don't be among those who have the doubt. So, Ya Ayyuhan Naso, Surah An-Nisa 170, Allah says, Ya Ayyuhan Naso, قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Certainly the messenger came to you with haqq from your Lord. So anything which has been revealed in the revelation by the Creator has to be the haqq and truth. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ حِينَ دَنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا الْإِنْقِطَاعِ وَأَقْبَلَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ الْإِتِّلَاعِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah sent the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with haqq and at a time when the end of the world was close. So after we recognize the haqq in our life through the aql and through the wahi, now comes the responsibilities. But before I come to the responsibility, it is also important to pay attention to this duty that all of us as humans have on our neck, and that is to search about the haqq. Searching about the haqq is necessary, because if we don't, obviously by utilizing the same two criterias which I mentioned, but it's very important for everyone, even those who are believing, they think they are believing in the haqq and truth, isn't it right? But still, you have to search. And the benefit of searching is that you will become mutma'in and satisfied that what you are believing and practicing is based on the criteria that is accepted by the Creator and accepted by your intellect. So Amir Mumni alayhi salam has said in Maktub, the letter number 31, that خُذِ الْغَمَرَاتِ لِلْحَقِّ حَيْثُ كَانْ, and go in the depths for the sake of the haqq, wherever they may be, it may be. And no matter how, where you need to go for the sake of discovering the haqq, go there so that you can end up discovering it. So it's our responsibility to go and search for the haqq and face the mashakil and troubles and turmoils and you know, and hardships in the face of searching the haqq. It's worth it. Obviously, especially when we are all living in times where people have been, presenting the batil in the form of haqq. Isn't it right? Well, it has been done even in the times of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Didn't these Khawarij end up saying, isn't it right, at the occasion of the Battle of Siffin and the whole Qadiyatul Hakamain came forward, isn't it right? La hukma illa lillah. There is no right of rule for anyone other than Allah. And when Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi as-salam heard that statement by these people who were later dubbed as Khawarij and waged another third war against Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Battle of Nahrawan, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Kalimatu haqqin yuradu biha batil." That means it's a word of truth, but what they intend from it, what they mean from it, is falsehood. Na'am innahu la hukma illa lillah. Yes, the right of rule is only for Allah. Walakinna ha'ula yaqulun la imrata illa lillah. But what they are saying is that no one shall rule upon us. That means in this world, we should not have any ruler. وَإِنَّهُ لَابُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ أَمِيرٍ بَرٍ أَوْ فَاجِرٍ يَعْمَلْ فِي إِمْرَتِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَيَسْتَمْتِعُ فِيهِ الْكَافِرِ. Whereas we must have a ruler. We humans cannot survive without a rule, isn't it right? So what they're misusing the notion that only Allah has a right to rule and applying on the human society that we should not have a ruler. This is how some people have been, these Khawarij have been operating. So worse than that, what we see is that there are people who mix up a bit of haqq, they take some of the haqq and then they take some of the batil, mix it up together, make something like, in Farsi they say ma'jun, isn't it right? mix up a mixture and then they present it in the form of haq. In khutbah number 50, Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْبَاطِلَ خَلَصَ مِنْ مِزَاجِ الْحَقِّ لَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَى الْمُرْتَدِينَ. If the batil was pure, presented in a nice form, pure form, in other words, you know, without any mixing of the haq, it would not have been hidden from, you know, from those people who were searching the truth. وَلَوْ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ خَلَصَ مِنْ لُبْسِ الْبَاطِلِ or مِنْ لَبْسِ الْبَاطِلِ إِنْ قَطَعَتْ عَنْهُ أَلْسُنُ الْمُعَانِدِينَ. And if the haq was not mixed, was pure from making it confusing with the batil added into it, it would not the enemies, the opposers, would not be saying what they are saying about that. So this kind of opposition that we witness happens because haq and batil have been mixed up. ولكن يؤخذ من هذا ضغط ومن هذا ومن ذلك ضغط فيمزجان فهنالك يستولي الشيطان على أعدائه. So what happens is that a little bit from this, the haq, and a little bit from that, the batil, is taken up and then mixed together, and that's how the shaitan plays, and shaitan overrides and overcomes his followers. That's how shaitan is now deceiving his followers through this policy of the batil mixed up with the haq. And وَيَنْجُوا الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. And those people whom the are more the rahmat and under the mercy of Allah are the ones who would be saved from that type of situation. So it's our responsibility that when we recognize the haq through aql and through the wahi, to now move forward towards obedience of the haq. And haq, obeying the haq and even recognizing the haq is through the aql and the wahi is obviously the tools are defined, but still we find there are lots of people who find it difficult to do that. And Prophet had already said to his ashab that to Ammar ibn al-Yasir that لو سلك الناس واديا وسلك علي واديا فسلك واديا سلكه علي وخل الناس طرا. So if the people, if all the humanity, if the people go towards a valley and Ali goes towards another valley, then you go towards the valley where Ali goes and leave the humanity aside. Another in the khutbah of Ghadir at the Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj, where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that wa adir al haqqa ma'ahu haythudar. Isn't it right? Some of the ahadith are clear. Aliyun ma'al haq wal haqqu ma'a aliyin. Ali is with the righteousness and righteousness is with Ali. And a prophet then prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma adiril haqqa ma'ahu haythu dar. Oh my Lord, rotate the haq along with him wherever he goes. So Prophet did not say in his dua towards Allah that, oh my Lord, make Ali go wherever haq goes. Instead, he puts the issue in the opposite way. He said, make the haq go wherever Ali goes. So this gives us a very clear vision, a divine and prophetic vision, that in order to understand and in order to be foolproof and not to make a mistake about distinguishing the goal of life and distinguishing the path that we tread for that goal, we have to be obedient towards the leadership. Isn't it right? And even today we find those are the people who break away from the walayat of faqih. Isn't it right? In our practical lives we have witnessed and we have experiences. There are people who are very religious, and because of various fitnas that have been taking place, and because of the plots of the enemies of Islam, we find they have been filtered out. Isn't it right? Very religious people, but now you find them on the other side. So every time a fitna takes place, which is supervised by the enemies of Islam, you find a bunch of people are lost to the fitna. If you go down into the situation, why is that taking place? Why every time we don't take lesson, and every time a fitna is created by the, you know, by the enemies of Islam, some of the so-called apparently religious people are gone. The reason behind that, brothers and sisters, is that they don't have tamassuk with the leadership. Isn't it right? They don't have tamassuk with the leadership. Not everybody has that basirat. I remember Shah La'anatullahi Alayh, he asked his wazir, who is Khomeini? Well, that's, I'm talking about the time when the uprisings and tadahurat and the, you know, protests started in various cities in Iran before the Islamic Revolution. And obviously, Shah, this puppet of the global powers, and this Tahut had no clue about who Imam al-Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi was. So he asked his wazir that who is Khomeini? And wazir replied back, do you remember when you visited Ayatollah Burujerdi in Qom? Yes, he said, yeah, I do. He said, in his house, when you entered into the hall, into the living room, all those scholars who were present at that time, everybody stood up in your respect except one scholar. You remember that? He said, yeah, I remember. He said, that's the one who did not stand up is Khomeini. So there is a difference. Not every scholar is equal. The thing we must understand, and we have no other option except to understand this, if we are serious about our guidance, that you have to have tamassuk with the leadership of Islam, and unless and until a person has tamassuk with the leadership, there is no guarantee, because we will continue to be more vulnerable to the deceptions of shaitan than any other mu'min. And we find that after we recognize the haq, it's our responsibility not to be afraid. So, you know, and be steadfast on the path of Islam. Amir Mumin alayhi salam, when he was accepted to be the fourth khalifa by the Islamic Ummah, and the people of Jamal are now planning to wage a war against him, isn't it right? He writes a letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who is the Wali in Basra. And because he did not support neither Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is the Khalifa, nor his opponents who are about to wage a war. So his stance was like this. He said, well, they are also Muslims. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali is also a Muslim. And it's not okay to fight against the Ahlul Qibla, against the Muslims. So he was, posing to be neutral in that crisis. This is how some people say, we are neutral, you know. He's also okay. Everybody's okay. Sometimes we end up in this pluralism, isn't it right? It's another Zionist plot. When in Islam, we do not have the pluralism. Those who are on the haq are on haq, and those who are not on the haq are not on the haq. There is no room inside Islam for pluralism. So we find Amir Mumin sends a letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari saying, فَإِنْ حَقَّقْتَ فَانْفُذْ وَإِنْ تَفَشَّلْتَ فَقْعُدْ. That means if you happen to realize that Imam Ali is on the truth, enforce this haq and haqiqat and this fact. You start supporting him, start rallying the people, run a campaign. You are the wali, you are the governor, you should run a campaign in the masses to rally the people in
the support of the Walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And if you fail to understand that, faq'ud. If you don't understand, then just get off. Basically leave the position vacant for those who deserve it. So, and then at the end, before I come to my speech, the end of my speech, Imam Ali says to him, Wallahi, innahu lahaqqun ma'a muhiqqin. I swear to Allah, this is the truth.
And it's going to be enforced by the follower of the truth. Wama ubali. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, Wama ubali ma yasna'ul mulhidun. And I don't care what the mulhid people, you know, do. Those who have nothing to do with Allah. So what we need to do, we are going to do what we need to do. And we don't care what they, you know, would say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the time is up it's close to the prayer time. So thank you. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give to all of us the tawfiq to understand and to follow the haqq and to distance ourselves from the batil and its followers. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wakhzul al-Kuffara wal-Munafiqeen. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.